I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm your host, Jack Rathborn, and I'm joined as always by Grant James and Will Dubay. We'll be reviewing the 0-0 draw with Manchester United. Just going to get straight into it, Will. In terms of the setup and specifically the first half this week, I thought we'd divide our discussion into each half. How did you see Frank's selections, the formation, and just in terms of how it unfolded immediately from the first whistle against a team which, up until the FA Cup semi-final last season, really did have the better of Lampard? Do you think he was somewhat spooked by the way that Solskjaer has exposed his exuberance a little bit last season? Or do you think it's carried over from the way that Southampton exposed Chelsea a little bit defensively and the encouragement from a sturdier performance against Sevilla?
Yeah, I think we sort of spoke about it in the last episode. I did think that Frank would go with this back three system. Obviously, we used it in the semi-final where we played pretty well last season against them. And I'm not against this system for big games. I think it gives you quite a lot of flexibility. I think in the first half, our approach was pretty good. We looked really solid. We pushed a little bit higher up the pitch. And the second half, obviously, I think we were camped in a little bit. We'll come on to the second half, obviously. But I think there were times when we had quite a high line, but we were pretty well protected with the free. There was only that, obviously, that one chance that Rashford had where he burst through, where they kind of exposed us in the channels a little bit when Mendy made that really good save with his right foot. But I think we had quite a lot of the ball in good areas in the final third. In that first half, I thought Pulisic was looking pretty dangerous. Thiago Silva was finding Chilwell with that sort of clip balls in behind to Chilwell. That Chilwell, that was obviously something that that was on quite a lot. I think we were just maybe playing a little bit safe in the first half. But again, I wasn't necessarily against that. I think it was one of those that we just wanted to be really cautious, really solid. And then, you know, in the second half, maybe I was pretty pleased with how we played in the first half. I was pretty pleased with the approach in a big game. But yeah, I think we did okay to restrict them. Like I said, that one big chance. But beyond that, I think we looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's encouraging with Lampard, the way that he does seem to have a formula in these big games now where he is able to limit or frustrate teams with considerable attacking potential. And I thought, despite Martial being unavailable for Manchester United, I think you saw the way that a naivety from PSG midweek in the Champions League, and United certainly had much more encouragement and joy initially compared to the game at Old Trafford against Chelsea. Grant, just in terms of that first half, how would you enjoy watching Chelsea set up in a big game compared to what you saw initially from Lampard yesterday?
I actually quite enjoyed when we set up sort of backs to the wall, you know, and defending and playing on the break. I quite enjoy that in the big games. And I think with going to a back three, it only took one change to our actual 11 to make that happen. Just, you know, take out one attacker, put Azpilicueta in, and everything kind of fits into place quite nicely. Possibly the one exception is Zuma playing on the left of that back three. You wouldn't say he's the most comfortable in that area, especially with how much of the ball he got in that first half. I think United were quite well organised in sort of letting the ball go to that side and then squeezing us over. And there were lots of Zuma passes to Chilwell where sort of Wan-Bissaka was immediately tied to press that, and we couldn't really progress the ball up that flank very much. So besides that, I think the setup really suits our side. But I think, you know, when we played that shape last year, we had sort of Mount and Willian be playing behind the striker, and they were so strong defensively and with their pressing and just being comfortable between the lines. And I don't think it necessarily worked that well with the personnel. you know, Pulisic didn't really play in these big games with the shape last season. He was usually a sub and he came on and made an impact. Like, for example, at Anfield, he had that sort of brilliant 20 minutes cameo. So I think the front three didn't necessarily function as well as we showed last season, you know, in the game at Spurs and so forth in that shape. But it was our first clean sheet, away Premier League clean sheet since the win at Spurs in December. So I can understand why Lampard went with that. And for against a team that's going to play on the counter attack a lot, as United generally do, I think just starting with more men behind the ball is a pretty sensible approach.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I really enjoyed the compact nature of the way the team set up. And I think certainly from 2 years ago, but yeah, even more so than the last season, I think you can start to see the weapons in that team to be able to have some success going forward, even when they're starting in a low block. I just would have liked to have seen Chelsea sort of lay a few more traps for United and use that pace of Pulisic and Werner. It seemed like, I don't know if you agree, Will, but in midweek, I thought Havertz was much more willing to take risks to go for Werner, like sort of preying on the last man. And I think you saw United certainly having not trusted Tuanzebe. I think against Maguire, I think there was an opportunity there to sort of have some really low risk rolls of the dice in the way that Werner can really hurt teams when he is sort of looking to move in behind on that last man. How did you see the way that we initially looked to expose United? I thought it was quite telling that the most risk we sort of seemed to take was through either Chilwell or James. And I enjoyed both players' performances, and I think they are massive. There's massive encouragement from both, and they should be pillars for this team moving forward. But just in terms of how Chelsea took risks in that first half, how did you see that?
I think we played pretty safe. I think Maguire and Lindelof were very aggressive, looking to kind of get up quite tight to Havertz and Werner. And we sort of spoken about their struggles with their back to goal, receiving the ball. And obviously, I think Maguire's quite good at that. Sometimes he can get exposed if you're able to kind of pop the ball off, then he's massively out of position and he struggles to recover. But we never really did that. I think we struggled really to get Werner in any good positions. So we struggled to kind of build through the middle of the pitch. It was, like I say, I think most of the good work we did in the first half was Thiago Silva kind of clipping it over to Chilwell, who had a lot of space. And I think Chilwell's really good at kind of getting the ball out of his feet, and he's got a good range of passing. He can kind of find the striker in behind in quite when there's not a lot of space in behind. He can kind of bend in those sort of diagonal angled passes. He's good at kind of breaking the lines of his passing. I think Reece was really good defensively, but maybe a little bit safe in possession. I think he can probably learn a little bit from Chilwell, just kind of backing himself a little bit. We know he's got so much range to his passing, but I think sometimes he doesn't sort his feet out quite as quickly as someone like Chilwell. I think really, if say Tammy and German guys that we spent a lot of money in, I think they may have been a little bit more effective in a game like this. I think Tammy, you saw in his little cameo when he came on, he held the ball up a lot better than Werner. And Mason Mount, I think, is better at receiving the ball in tight spaces and kind of evading the physical challenge from behind him a lot better than Havertz at the moment. Those two guys are kind of a season ahead in their development, sort of in the Premier League. They're Premier League adjusted now. The two guys that we've obviously spent a lot of money on who are expected to start, they're pretty anonymous. I think Havertz was looking to pick up the ball in quite good positions, but he wasn't turning on the ball quickly enough. And Werner just wasn't getting the game at all. I think I might have said to you guys on our WhatsApp chat, I think it's difficult to assess Werner because we don't have the encompassing view of the pitch. I would really love to see him live to see whether we're maybe not releasing him quickly enough, kind of what he's doing on the ball when the likes of Jorginho, Kante are receiving the ball kind of off the back four, or kind of Thiago Silva's look. It's been easier to assess with the games at Stamford Bridge. I think the camera angle allows you a little bit more, you can see a little bit more of the pitch. I don't know whether that's because it's a slightly smaller pitch. But yeah, it's difficult to assess these guys, but I just think, I think even in the last sort of the few minutes that Tammy and Mount came on, they looked kind of a little bit more dangerous for just like 5 minutes or so. They just looked like we maybe should have started with them. But obviously, I think that's a difficult political sort of decision for Frank to make. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of there was a feeling that there was a lot of playing it safe as such. I mean, I had a little look at just the way the team have approached how they impact the game on the ball from Southampton to Sevilla to Manchester United. And it's quite apparent, I think, that you saw in the game at Old Trafford that only two dribbles from forward-thinking players. I mean, you had a couple each from Reece James and Ben Chilwell, but Havertz and Pulisic with one each, and that was it. You look at the games previously, you go back to Sevilla, Pulisic with three alone, Havertz and Werner with one each, so that's five total. And likewise, there was five total against Southampton with Pulisic and Werner two each, and then Havertz with one. So I think while you can't draw too many conclusions from one statistic alone, it did feel like I was looking for something like that when I went back in and searched for this, because from watching the game, it felt like there was a real element of let's not give Manchester United the chance to hit us in transition, because I mean, I don't think it's an underestimation. I don't think it's overstating it as such to say that United are potentially one of the best teams in the world at hitting you hard and fast when they're given a gift as such. And I think Chelsea have experienced that firsthand, and they seem to be getting no worse at it under Solskjaer. Grant, in terms of if we move towards the second half as such, I thought there was encouragement from the goalless draw at half-time. It felt like Chelsea were in a position to sort of transition more into the second half and adapt the game plan. How successful do you think Lampard was in adapting the game plan in terms of plan A, and how it actually materialised?
Yeah, I thought the second half we started quite strongly. Yeah, the first half I think was right. The attackers just didn't quite have that chemistry. Especially, I think, with Werner and Pulisic being more left, you know, sort of left inclined, they were up against Wan-Bissaka and Lindelof, who have that speed. And Maguire had a really easy game, kind of occasionally dealing with Havertz, but not really very much. And I just thought there was some possibility for us just to move Pulisic at least over to the sort of inside right position, let him get at Shaw, who was booked already, try to pull Maguire out a little bit. We didn't really do any of that. We still had seven men behind the ball. And after that initial period of seemingly trying to actually show that we want to win the game, I think we lost a bit of steam. And then eventually Lampard made those subs. And obviously he took off Werner and Havertz, who I didn't think really had much impact on the game at all, especially Werner. He was dropping short way too often, making it easy for the defenders to get tight to him with one spare. Just pretty simple strategy. And Abraham and Mount made a big difference just with their pressing and their energy, showing for the ball a lot more, not giving it away every time they were, you know, in a duel with one of the centre-backs. But it was only really Pulisic then that gave us that sort of ability to make runs in behind. And he was already running out of steam because he's clearly not quite up to speed yet. Obviously, when Zia came on, we kind of have two tens who like to come to the ball. And then Abraham, who didn't really have, I mean, he obviously has speed and he can stretch the game, but he was never going to run in behind the way Werner did. So it felt like they could squeeze us even more and really just put us under pressure for those last 10 or 15 minutes. But we held out really well. Defensively at the side, were really good. Obviously, Thiago Silva with that block, but just he's always in the right position just to get ahead to cross. One thing I like is he doesn't tend to try too hard to cover teammates. So, you know, I think our other centre-backs can be guilty of trying to sort of cover behind. If the right centre-back tries to cover behind the left centre-back a lot or over-covers, and then we're a bit vulnerable at the back post. Thiago Silva kind of just keeps his position very calmly, and he's just in the right place to deal with everything. And I think, as Will said, James was excellent defensively, just getting out to block crosses, really good in the air, really physically strong. Even when he got the ball and he was closed down, he can protect it really well. But yeah, could possibly have made a slightly more progressive passing. I think that also comes down to the fact that Werner was so far away from him. There weren't sort of this channel passes to actually find. And when Abraham came on, he kind of tends to prefer the right a bit, or at least did in this game, and linking with Mount. And then I thought we had a bit more, it's sort of a threat down that side. But yeah, we did sort of kind of settle for the nil-nil draw, even though we changed the front three. And I did feel like this was a game screaming out for Kovacic just to come on and just to bypass someone and get the ball into the front three a bit earlier. And obviously the final sub was Ziyech, so we didn't have that luxury. So I think Lampard possibly got the subs wrong. I maybe would have left Ziyech off for this game and given Kovacic 15, 20 minutes for Jorginho and just see what he can do. I don't think Jorginho played badly though. It wasn't easy to play through the midfield, through the thirds with McTominay closing so aggressively.
I thought that the way Jorginho was popping it off was helping Chelsea sort of get forward in transition.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually strangely a lot of stick for Kante today for his performance, especially his passing. But I think it was so difficult for any of our midfielders to actually receive the ball and find the front three because of how aggressive they were in their closing down. And obviously, when Pogba came on, Fernandes was on as well. They basically had four central midfielders and that part of the pitch was just completely closed up. But I thought Kante had a really good second half, especially defensively. I mean, I'm really surprised to see all the criticism for him. Yeah, I mean, you can both want Kovacic to play and still not feel like Kante needs to be dropped because there's two spots. And yeah, Jorginho was fine and I didn't think this was the game to criticise him too much. I thought he kept the ball quite well when he was pressed and wasn't caught on it, in his own defensive third or in the middle third. But I thought Kante was good. And yeah, he's not the Kante that's storming around covering the role of two or three players necessarily anymore at his age. But so what? I think he still did his job well.
Yeah, I think he's still by far our best midfielder. I think in the first half, he was a bit sloppy. I think he's been a bit guilty this season of giving the ball away a little too easily when he's not under pressure. But I still think in the second half, he was... Like you say, he was winning a lot of tackles, covering a lot of ground, and actually trying to make things happen in a positive way, trying to carry the ball. Occasionally, it didn't come off. I thought Jorginho had a good first half. I think the second half, especially kind of the last 10 minutes when we were proper backs to the wall. I don't know whether it was because of kind of the nervous tension of wanting to hold out, but he was kind of worrying the life out of me. I feel like sometimes when it gets late on in the game with Jorginho and it becomes about kind of more than anything, like the physical side of it, 50-50 tackles of him sometimes become, like 70-30 challenges, and he can often come off worse and then the ball ricochets and it leads to a chance. He's still not the answer for me at all, Jorginho. But I agree. I think it's bizarre that Kante seems to have come in for criticism yesterday. And it seems like, there seems to be quite a lot of fans. Kind of, I don't know whether it's like a Twitter thing. Seems to be a lot of fans that want to criticise Kante. I don't know whether that's just because he's obviously set his own standards so high. But, I think if you're going to aim criticism at midfielders, I think Jorginho for a lot of the time can, you can clearly pick out performances of his that have just been really, really poor. And he seems to escape it with quite a lot of our fans. But no, I agree with you guys. I think defensively there's some really good performances. I think Azpilicueta was just like, amazing. I think he was probably the best player on the pitch. Just so intense. There were a couple of instances in the second half where he was left so isolated against Rashford and James, two players obviously lightning quick, and he just completely defended them so well 1v1. Just kind of not showing them either side too much, and just James and Rashford, they just kind of run out of ideas of what to do. He just completely has so much control over the situation in those 1v1 situations. And I think some people have said that, oh, he's, he's not quite the 1v1 defender as he was maybe at his absolute peak. But for me, he's still the best in the league. He's just, exceptional. So we're really spoiled there, because I think James looks like he's really come on this season. He just looks more aggressive, more kind of concentrated right from the first to last minute. So we're spoiled there with those guys. Mendy, I think if Kepa plays that game, we lose it. I don't think Kepa makes the save with his leg. I don't think he positions himself as well as Mendy does for that first save with his leg. And I don't think he saves the shot towards the end. It's one of those ones, because of his size, I think he makes that save almost look sort of routine. But he was, again, in a really good position. I think it's something John spoke about, that he moves his feet really well and positions himself really well to make saves. And if you combine that with his sheer size and athleticism, he's going to make, he's going to make some great saves like that. So he just, like, with each game, I just get more and more impressed with him. And I think we might have actually signed a keeper who's going to be, number one for at least a few years. Obviously, he's not young, but he's also not old. So that's hugely exciting for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Mendy, you mentioned the save from Rashford or the saves from Rashford. I thought that also, while not so flashy, I thought the way that he sort of fell on the ball or came out and dived for it while it was sort of squared along the line of the 6 yard box. I thought that was also impressive. He's willing to sort of take a boot to the head. He's quite brave. I just think he commands his area so well. And you're right, Will, to mention the sort of discussion we've had again on Mendy, just his technique and his footwork in the build up to the saves. They're going to make a lot of his actual saves look a lot more easier than they are. And just sort of the way I likened that first save against Rashford was almost like Manuel Neuer when he dominates one-on-one. Often it looks like the striker is just bottling the chance and sort of losing his nerve, but actually it is all about sort of making sure they come just far enough, not too far, not sitting back too much. And I think he did that really well, even though the left side kind of collapsed a little bit, Chilwell and Zuma to let that ball in behind. Really good encouragement. Grant, what did you think of Mendy's performance and moving forward towards Krasnodar as well?
Yeah, firstly, a really good sign to see Kepa out of the 18 because he's clearly the third best keeper, and I think Lampard's finally just put Caballero on the bench and just accepted that now. I think as well with that Rashford save, I watched it from behind quite a few times just to look at his footwork, and you see Kepa so often do quite a noticeable jump as strikers strike the shot, and then he's still landing and the ball's almost past him. And also with his, you know, his technique with having his arms behind his back, it doesn't actually let him get and really that much reach for a small keeper already. And Mendy, on the other hand, was sort of on the balls of his feet, moving along the line, trying to move his head and get a good view of the shot. Really strong hand. I mean, I think Will's right. We probably would have lost that game, not just because Kepa wouldn't have saved those shots, but the entire defensive line just seems so much more at ease with him on the field. Even with Mendy's save from Rashford late in the first half, you can see the reaction of the defenders to the save. You know, just like, it must be quite a delight for them to actually have a keeper behind them they can trust. Just the way I think fans are quite, kind of traumatized by Kepa, that we, maybe some saves we do sort of overrate with Mendy, but I think it's just it's such a weird feeling to actually have a goalkeeper that will save shots, that we've just been traumatized by Kepa over the last 2 years, that we expect everything to go in. And maybe the defenders have to get used to having a competent player behind them too. I think there's basically two Chelseas this season. There's the one that's got Mendy and Thiago Silva playing, which looks really solid. Possibly is a bit more defensive because Thiago Silva's pulling people, you know, in next to him just to keep everything organized, or because we are actively trying to just be a bit more defensive and organized to protect him, having Azpilicueta tucked in and so forth. And then there's the side, obviously, with Kepa and Christensen, who've been playing, where we've been, you know, conceding goals for fun. And both of them were out of the 18 completely. Rudiger was on the bench. Who knows what the centre-back picking order is now. I mean, it seems to change every week between Christensen being second choice and then being, or third choice and then being fifth choice, and Rudiger doing the same. So I still think it's really positive to see just how well we've defended in the two games, even though it's come at the expense of any real pressing whatsoever up the pitch. So it's almost like Lampard can set up a team in one way, either to be solid and sort of rely on the individual brilliance of the front three to win the game, or to press high and kind of just be completely vulnerable in defence. So I think we're still quite a long way from finding a happy medium between those two things.
Yeah, I agree on the... We're still a little bit away from finding that happy medium between attack and defence. In Lampard's defence, I do think that there are clear signs, maybe in isolation and not stringing results together, where he's shown an ability to get a pretty high level from both phases. I think that's definitely encouraging. At the same time, there's definitely an issue now where he needs to find the balance. And I think with Mendy and Silva in the team, you would have seen some of these calamitous performances defensively against Southampton and West Brom avoided with a much more encouraging balance. And I think it's also encouraging that the rest of the league is so inconsistent at the moment. So it's going to give Lampard a bit of time to sort of tread water a little bit. You've got to remember Havertz, Werner, Ziyech with the injury, Pulisic coming back from the injury, a lot of these attacking players were always going to take time. So now that you've plugged in Mendy and Silva, I think just naturally it's going to sort of transition much closer to a really nice balance between the two. Will, a final point on the game yesterday. I mean, are you got a bit of a bone to pick with Gary Neville?
Yeah, the game was just like making me ill. Like I was so nervous, and I don't know whether I was more nervous because it was like watching Man United TV. I mean, it's just ridiculous how biased Neville is on commentary. I just can't believe they let him near those Man United games on TV. I mean, how much focus they put on the Mendy pass? You know, you would have thought that it was like inches away from the post. Like it was nowhere near going in. You know, it was a missed hit. It was nowhere near going in. I think Gary Neville is a little bit, he's hypercritical of goalkeepers. I don't think he has a very good kind of understanding of goalkeepers. He could do with having a chat with John, who we had a chat with the other day, educate him a little bit on goalkeeping. But he just watches the game through such a Man United lens. It's like anytime a Chelsea player does something good, it's always critical of the Man United player for not doing better. It's just, it is like watching, you know, it's like watching Chelsea TV when you used to have, you know, like Jason Cundy doing the commentary. Like it's just, and it's on Sky. It's meant to be, he's meant to be a neutral kind of...
I totally agree. I think only real point really on Neville is that there's a stark contrast between Neville the pundit when he's in the Monday Night Football studio, which to his chagrin, he's sort of very vocally frustrated that he's not getting the opportunity anymore. It seems to be Carragher plus one. And then there's another Neville as a media member when he's in the commentary box. And it was demonstrated, like you said, all game. He was absolutely... Like it seemed like devastated when Rashford missed a chance. So, I don't know why that hasn't been picked up by Sky or whether they have an issue with it at all. But yeah, just before we wrap up, Grant, in terms of the transition towards Krasnodar, Champions League games coming back to back to back now, a switch back to the 4-2-3-1, do you think?
I'm not sure. I think part of the question will be whether Thiago Silva can play again. That's going to be kind of a question the whole season. Can we just get him to the next match and available? And at some point, obviously, you have to actually preemptively rest him so that he can definitely be fit for the game after, as opposed to the, you know, the one game at a time type way of going about things. So we have Burnley next weekend. Yeah, Burnley. So I think you probably do everything you can to get Thiago Silva to play in Krasnodar, get the 3 points, and then we're in a really good position in the group. And then it is quite a difficult one because... If you do switch to back four, who misses out? I mean, does James miss out after the way he's played in the last two games? Do we see Azpilicueta left out? I would be inclined to say we might go back to a back four just because it gets us one extra attacker into the side. Maybe Aspi misses out. And I think we might see some more rotation after the busy couple of games. I think Kovacic might finally get a start. Possibly Mount will come in again. Obviously, you know, Lampard favours him a lot. And for an away game, he'd be ideal for that. I think we possibly might see Ziyech get his first start. I mean, he does need to play minutes after not playing since March. So possibly Ziyech comes in and mounts and maybe, yeah, we rotate a little bit. I'm not 100% sure of how the front line sets up. But I think at some point soon, we'll see a 4-2-3-1 with that Ziyech, Havertz, Pulisic, Werner front four that everyone is kind of waiting for. So maybe this is the game. Yeah, it's funny because we're 7 games unbeaten now in 90 minutes. Obviously, we lost to Spurs on penalties. Only defeat of the season, aside from that penalty defeat, is against the champions with 10 men. So you can phrase things in lots of different ways and try and look at the positives a bit more than maybe we are.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think we need to, as very deliberately, we've sort of avoided the sweeping generalisation of like reacting to whether Lampard's up to it. I think you're right. There's so many different factors here. So we need to sort of have that discussion in a few games' time. Will, in terms of what Grant picked up on, I definitely see a slight tweak of the defence. I see Kovacic coming in. And is it time to maybe give Tammy another start? You've seen, obviously, you mentioned Kovacic coming in. It would make sense to sort of maybe pull out Kante, Pulisic. These are players where they have got a history of muscular injuries. Is this a risk now? I mean, or do we just, I don't know, like, let them go again and hope that they can survive one more game within a 3-day rest period and then hopefully survive against Burnley. How do you see the balance of rotation here? Ziyech for me is a must start, and very excited to see him start and show some of the form he displayed for Ajax.
Yeah, I think there's going to be quite heavy rotation. I think Thiago Silva is going to just become such an important player for us. And like Grant said, I think it almost, he kind of dictates, partly because of, I think he, like Grant sort of said, he wants players around him to kind of protect him. But I think that also just creates a much better defensive unit. We're naturally a little bit more conservative, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because I think we've got such good players to shred through teams on the break once that understanding starts to develop, and Frank kind of starts to, like, you know, if we can start to see that front four, you know, of the 3-1 with Ziyech, Pulisic, Havertz and Werner start to maybe play some more games, I think we'll naturally just see, you know, us become a little bit more effective in attack. But I just think once Thiago Silva goes out of the team, you'll start to have similar problems with, you know, maybe pushing up a little bit too high, maybe overcommitting, and we lose that balance. But at the same time, you do have to rotate him. I think he had a slight knock going into this United game, so I can see him coming out. I think obviously Mendy stays in goal. There'll be no rotation there. I think maybe Aspi keeps his place. Maybe Tomori and Zuma, but you know, who knows? I mean, Christensen could be back in the lineup, but I would like to see Zuma stay in for a little bit of consistency. Maybe Alonso comes back in, one of the left backs maybe come back into it, but and then Kovacic and Jorginho. I mean, I don't know how good Krasnodar are as a team, but I think Frank will see this as an opportunity to kind of freshen the side up.
Yeah, Thiago is going to be so key, isn't he? Hasn't played 3 games in a week since February, when he played against Amiens, Dortmund, and then Bordeaux for PSG. Do you think there's a risk though, Grant, in terms of like overlooking Krasnodar? Obviously, with the draw against Sevilla, it's helped that Krasnodar and Rennes drew as well. But failure to get a win in the first 2 games can almost put you behind the eight ball as such in the Champions League. Fortunately, it doesn't seem like Rennes or Krasnodar will be as good as Ajax were last season. So any concerns there? Or do you think the inconsistency in the Premier League ought to make sure that Burnley is a priority?
Yeah, I think Will's right. We do have to rotate, and also your mention of injury-prone players. I think maybe playing Pulisic and Kante again is probably a bit too risky. Even Chilwell maybe falls into that category. He's played a lot of minutes since coming back from injury. So I think if we are going to make a little bit of change at the back, possibly we could switch Aspi to the left, go with the back four, and see if we leave Pulisic out. We don't really have a natural winger to come in, with Callum not even in the 18 this weekend. So maybe we just have a narrow, you know, Havertz, Ziyech mounts behind Werner. And Kante, I don't want to see him get injured. You know, we just pushed it a little bit too far last season after the restart, and then we lost him. So I think it's pretty natural to have Kovacic and Jorginho for that game. Kante on the bench. I think we can win with those changes. The schedule is crazy. So I think if you start pushing these players through this game and then Burnley and then sort of for the next Champions League game, a lot of them are at breaking point. So I think this is the one to take the chance.
Yeah, very well said, Grant. I think sort of covered that. And we look forward to wrapping up that game in the Champions League and seeing how things go. We'll be back with you next week. If you want to support the show, you can look us up on Twitter at PalpablePod. And please leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify to help spread the word to Chelsea fans. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.